A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 230. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Wallace and Gromit. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England.
The wonderful world of Wallace and Gromit with claymation and some speaking characters and characters who don't speak, and some wacky science fiction ideas. There's actually quite a bit of science fiction in Wallace and Gromit when you come back and look for it, as we've done. And it's done with a great deal of charm and a very British style. And what we'll be focusing on are these four short films, which have a short film and television sort of heritage to them, about 30 minutes each, coming from the BBC, that were done starting in 1990 and then going all the way through 2008. So they were sort of periodically released. And there were a number of spin-off properties as well, but we'll focus on those.
Yes, it's a delightful show. I guess sometimes we do get that we drift off topic away from science fiction. And although this isn't the hardest science fiction that we'll ever discuss, there are plenty of science fiction moments in Wallace and Gromit. And as you say, Brian, it also has got the most enormous sort of spin-off universe of other programs and other characters and books and toys and even comics and goodness knows what else. Musicals, I believe, will be discussing in episode 2. So really, although we're concentrating on these four short films, the world of Wallace and Gromit is quite vast, actually.
Yes, it really is. And it will be quite fun to jump into this.
Okay, so let's start with the setup. Wallace, the human character, lives in an unspecified northern British town, possibly Wigan, where he invents and uses many of his bizarre and cracking contraptions to help him in and around the house. But he's also aided in his inventions and also in his many adventures by his rather intelligent dog and partner in business ventures, Gromit. The dog, who is a delightful character in his own right, as we'll get to in a moment.
Oh, absolutely. And they get into odd business ventures where they're running a little business doing something around town. And they have tea, which is very important to them. But even more important are the crackers and especially cheese. And we have weird and wonderful adventures and plenty of cheese to go along with it.
The most cheesy show we will ever cover, Brian.
Maybe, but it's, I think, mostly literal cheese, actually, rather than the metaphorical version we often talk about.
Absolutely.
And as they go, there are actually quite a few in-jokes and references to science fiction classics like Thunderbirds and things like Aliens and a variety of things there, which is kind of neat as well.
So, delightful title characters. Just the two for us to describe up front. Wallace, of course, an amiable, eccentric inventor who relies on his dog to do most of the hard work in the house and on their various jobs. Wallace is a romantic character, so he's always on the lookout for love. And, of course, he's famously voiced by the remarkable Peter Salis, a British actor who's been in Doctor Who. He was in the original Ice Warriors serial, I believe, Brian.
Yes, that's right, back in the 60s.
Yeah, probably most famous before Wallace and Gromit for being in the long-running British comedy series The Last of the Summer Wine. Although I dare say probably now even better known for voicing Wallace. We do know that Peter Salis is now 95 and has retired, and that an actor called Ben Whitehead has taken on voicing Wallace in some of the more recent spin-off material. But what a great contribution Peter Salas has made to the success of Wallace and Gromit over the years.
Yes, absolutely. And he did voice Wallace in the four original short films that we will be discussing. There was also a theatrical movie that was in the cinemas. He did that as well. So he really did a lot of the material as voicing Wallace. And it was only sort of in some of the much more recent things that Ben Whitehead has taken over. Gromit is Wallace's long-suffering, faithful, patient dog and companion, who is a silent character. He doesn't speak, but has a performance, if we can call it that, that's very memorable, with wonderful facial expressions and lots of physical comedy. And T is a character who usually stands up and is almost like a human, although he is a dog and does not speak. But he acts very much like a human, and in many cases is portrayed as the smart one of this duo.
Yes, he's a remarkably intelligent assistant for Wallace, who can turn his hand to a variety of amazing tasks, particularly when it comes to constructing some of the more elaborate machines and inventions they have to make, and some of the more bizarre jobs that they do with their inventions.
Yes, animals don't talk in Wallace and Gromit, but they are very much characters. They are intelligent, they have lots of interactions, and are a very significant part of things. A Grand Day Out was the first Wallace and Gromit story. It was about 24 minutes, and it came out on December 24th, 1990. It introduced us to Wallace and Gromit, who were relaxing at home with a nice cup of tea, planning their next holiday, when they realize they're out of cheese. And what do you do when you're out of cheese?
Well, in the case of Wallace and Gromit, Wallace's thoughts immediately turn to a holiday on the moon, because as everybody knows, the moon is made of cheese. And so they begin, they design, and they start to build their remarkable rocket ship of their own inside the structure of their house, and plan for a fabulous day trip along the way, with some remarkable scenes of construction and several rather funny sight gags involved in that as well, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And a launch of that rocket that is more than a little reminiscent of Thunderbirds.
Yes, not the last time that they'll be coming back to Thunderbirds in this series.
And of course they go, and they do land on the surface of the moon, and have a nice little holiday wandering around there. No spacesuits necessary in the world of Wallace and Gromit, it seems. And they have an encounter with a strange and initially threatening sort of robot that runs around and interacts with them.
Yes, it's quite interesting, because as you were pointing out before we record, each of these short films features other non-speaking characters alongside Gromit. So he's not the only sort of silent comedy performer. And here we have, in the very first film, we have this delightful, weird sort of parking meter robot on the moon. But it's a robot with a character of its own and dreams of its own. It's quite remarkable stuff, Brian.
Yes, it is. And it's really quite charming, and sort of some neat little things that happen with that. So it's quite fun.
And of course, it brings everybody a nice happy ending on the moon. These are very pleasant and, as you say, British charming shows. So there's a happy ending. There is cheese involved, and all's well that ends well with A Grand Day Out.
Yes, and this one, we really have three characters that we've mentioned, and Wallace is the only one of them who speaks. So you have lots of sort of visual comedy and visual character moments from Gromit and this lunar robot.
Gromit, that's it, cheese. We'll go somewhere where there's cheese.
places you find cheese, Lancashire, Cheddar, Wensleydale, Philadelphia, and Tesco's. Everybody knows the moon's made of cheese.
So that will take us to our next film, which came out on the 26th of December 1993. You can see already that Wallace and Gromit are soundly associated with British Christmas television. This was The Wrong Trousers, a 30-minute film, which again has just the three characters here. It begins with Wallace wrestling with his finances and realizing he doesn't have enough money and that he's going to have to rent out Gromit's room. Gromit, being his assistant, lives in a has his own bedroom in the house, doesn't live in a kennel or anything like that. But Gromit has to move out to make way for a lodger, and there's other mysterious things happening as well.
Yes, Gromit is still at the house, but loses the good room, and Wallace invests in this pair of ex-NASA techno trousers, which can be programmed to take Gromit for walks. They can walk around on their own. Gromit is sort of not so happy with being sent out with the trousers and losing his room. It starts with Gromit being a little bit dumped on.
Yes, that's right. He's not very pleased about losing his room. He's not very pleased about the techno trousers. And he is rather puzzled and disconcerted by the arrival of their new lodger, the mysterious penguin known only as Feathers McGraw, another silent character. And, well, basically, The Wrong Trousers, it's going to set off an adventure for our three characters, which will involve a stunning jewel robbery in a very tense sequence. And then, quite remarkably, I think, Brian, the chase sequence, which ends the film, which takes place on a model train set. And a model train set with Wallace having to lay the track in front of the train as fast as he can. It's a remarkably choreographed chase with again, another suitably happy ending, but brilliantly done, I think.
Yes, there's lots of good stuff in this one. And Feathers McGraw is another wonderful non-speaking character. So again, we have two characters who don't speak and one who does. And we get lots of character and lots of sort of charming humor in it.
Splendid stuff. That's the first two films done from the early 90s. So we pause towards the end of our first episode to discuss the production notes. I think, as most people will know, Wallace and Gromit is the brainchild of the animator Nick Park, who joined Aardman Animations in the 1980s. Aardman Animations has been a Bristol-based company who probably became best known for doing some music videos, in particular for doing Peter Gabriel's song Sledgehammer in 1986, which I believe is still the most played video ever on the MTV channel. I'm sure just about everybody in the known world has seen the Sledgehammer video at one point. And Nick Park actually worked on that and animated the memorable Dancing Chickens, which you might recall from somewhere along in that rather special video.
Yes, that's right. And Nick Park also worked on a series called Creature Comforts in 1989, which took interviews with people talking about their homes, but used the visuals of claymation animals in a zoo talking about the homes instead, which was done to humorous effect. And for a while was quite popular and quite well known. And it actually became the basis of a series of television commercials for a British electricity company as well.
Yes, I think most Brits will remember the TV commercials for Creature Comforts and about how, again, these voices and these animals and how that would help sell the idea of being warm and comfortable and having heating on and so on.
That's right. Park had actually started working on Wallace and Gromit as part of his National Film and Television School graduation project back in 1982.
Yes, there he is as a student working on his graduation project, which I guess is 8 years before it finally made it to our screens. And it's interesting to note, one of the notes I picked up from the research was he actually wrote to the plasticine company to ask them if they would give him a large supply of modelling clay in order to help him with this project he was working on. And rather remarkably, they did so. I don't know if money changed hands or if that was just plasticine helping out a struggling student. But there you go. He did receive quite a large amount of plasticine with which to start creating his characters.
And a chunk of it was actually the color that was the match for Gromit. So Gromit sort of got his look because of this plasticine.
Yep, just a happen chance for what was delivered, so there you go. And Nick Park needed a northern voice, he felt, for the character of Wallace, and he did rather cheekily ask Peter Sallis if he would do it and offered to pay him £50 for it, and was rather surprised when Sallis accepted. But I think Peter Sallis was even more surprised himself when 8 years later it actually came to the screen and he could actually see what had been done with his voice. And it was the beginning, as we say, of a very successful relationship between Nick Park and Peter Sallis. It's difficult in a way to imagine the success of Wallace as a character without Sallis's wonderful vocalizations.
When Nick Park picked this up again after having worked on it as a student, he was now at Aardman Animations, and they had more people. They could then have more people involved, including Peter Lord, who was a claymation animator who was well known for a character on the Vision On television series that I believe he had been doing in the 1970s. Is that right?
Yes, I think he starts in the 70s, yes. And that's this character Morph, which is again another famous claymation character from British TV.
So we ended up with Peter Lord from Vision On and Morph in with Aardman Animations and with Nick Park as well. And they built up a bit more of a team, which of course included Peter Sallis. And they were able to complete this first project for A Grand Day Out, which was aired Christmas 1990.
Yes, and along the way, we should also mention in passing Julian Knott, who wrote the music, which I think is a large part of the charm of the first and subsequent films. And the sort of Wallace and Gromit theme has become one of those bits of music that just brings happy thoughts to a vast number of viewers, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, it was nominated for an Oscar for the Academy Award for Best Animated Short Films. And oddly enough, it lost out to Creature Comforts, which was also an Aardman and Nick Park related project.
Yes, that's right. I mean, Aardman Animations dominating the scene in the late 80s and early 90s, because when they brought out the successor to A Grand Day Out, when they brought out The Wrong Trousers in 1993, that in fact did win the Oscar for Best Animated Short Film that year, as did the third film, A Close Shave, in 1995. So there's an awful lot of success with this Wallace and Gromit series.
Yes, and even though it was only a new story once every 2 or 3 years, it was really quite a successful run from 1990 to 95 with those three stories and the Oscar recognition and so on.
We mentioned that all four films obviously were directed by Nick Park himself, and they were written by Park along with Bob Baker. And that is, yes, that is Doctor Who's Bob Baker, character not necessarily known for his humour, but here helping to produce some extremely funny scripts for the Wallace and Gromit films.
And it does mean that Bob Baker is behind two famous television dogs, both Gromit and K-9 from Doctor Who.
There you go. Who is your favorite Bob Baker dog on television? It's a tough call.
It is indeed.
As you probably know, Wallace and Gromit became a national and an international success. Hugely successful. Those two Oscars early on. And as such, there have been numerous spin-offs. Massive merchandising. I think merchandising right up there of the order of Doctor Who or some of the Gerry Anderson stuff. So much so that they even have their own brand of their favourite Wensleydale cheese. You can buy Wallace and Gromit branded Wensleydale cheese.
Haha, very nice.
And they were actually, I believe, even credited to help save the dairy that produced that cheese, because once the Wallace and Gromit characters appeared on the packets, sales shot up dramatically.
Indeed, as I'm sure did the awareness of Wensleydale cheese, because it was mentioned numerous times in Wallace and Gromit.
Yes, Wallace in particular has a particular sort of penchant for Wensleydale as his favourite cheese. So there you go.
A valuable addition to our modern lifestyle. They're techno trousers, ex-NASA. Fantastic for walkies. All you do is attach the lead on here, then program in. Walkies, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whoops. Have a nice walk, Gromit.
So, availability. There are several ways of watching these four films. In Region 2, I've been on the Complete Collection, which is all four films. There are commentary tracks, which I'm afraid I haven't had a chance to listen to yet. There are some making-of features, which I've watched and are very helpful and informative. There's a trailer for one of the spin-offs, Shaun the Sheep. And all of this, at the moment, on Amazon.co.uk is $4.99. One of the cheapest DVD sets I think we've ever come across. Less than a fiver for these four remarkable films. When we get to the spin-offs, you'll find I think most of those seem to be turning up on the streaming services, including the feature film, which we'll talk about next time. But at the moment, for the original four here in the UK, your best bet is to get this Complete Collection DVD set, which, as I say, bargain for under a fiver. What's the situation in Region 1, Brian?
Well, there have been several releases on DVD in Region 1. Many of them are actually out of print. So the Complete Collection, as you have in the UK, is available, but it's out of print and quite expensive. It's about $120. However, looking on Amazon.com, you do see a DVD with the first three episodes and a DVD with only the fourth. You can get those together for around $25 or a little less. And Amazon.ca, I noticed that the Region 2 DVD of the Complete Collection is only about $10. So that's pretty good if you're able to play Region 2 DVD. And in fact, the Blu-ray version of it, also the European Region B, is available for about $14. Again, you need players that can play those if you're going to go that route. In addition, you can buy them as digital downloads from Amazon Instant or from iTunes, somewhere on the order of $4.50 on standard definition and $8 for high definition. And that gives you the four films. It doesn't give you any of the extras. So there are, in fact, a number of options for getting those here.
Okay, very nice to have DVD and digital that's so easy to get hold of for this series. So one of the more accessible shows we've talked about, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. So next time we will talk about A Close Shave and A Matter of Loaf and Death, the other two roughly 30-minute short films. And we will also talk about some of the many different spin-offs for Wallace and Gromit, including the theatrical film that was in cinemas.
Yes, several spin-offs to try and cover. And, of course, to give you our own reviews and recommendations on this remarkable collection of four animated films and whether you should be adding it to your collection. We'll talk about that next time as well.
Yes, indeed. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so you can find that if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, where we'd love to have a chat with you about Wallace and Gromit and other shows we've covered. And if you want to suggest some new things we should cover or generally British sci-fi TV related things, there are some fun discussions that happen there.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, do come and suggest some other shows for us. Or, while we're suggesting, may I point you in the direction of the Voice of Geeks streaming radio service, which you will find at vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com. Come along and listen to British Invaders there, but also let's point you at a couple of shows that you might find interesting. Pod Culture is a very good show by our friend Brand, and also the TV reviews of Critical Myth, just two of the many shows you'll find if you join us at vognetwork.com.
Yes, those two share our Monday and Tuesday slots. We go one after another in a row with those, so you can have a fun Monday evening or Tuesday evening depending on your time zone there with some good sci-fi related podcasts.
Excellent stuff.
So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Join us for more cracking fun next time. Until then, Eamon in England also signing off.